I want us to look in the book of Galatians tonight. You would stand with me tonight. We'll look into a portion of God's Word together. We've read this many times. We could probably quote it backwards by now. It says in Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Amen. Amen. Lord, tonight we pray that you'd just hide us behind the cross and help us tonight, God, with voice of the Spirit to preach, God, what you've laid on our heart this evening. God, I pray that somehow you might take my feeble words and encourage someone. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated tonight. We have been preaching about the fruit of the Spirit. We've studied about love, and we feel that we need to continue. We've been studying about joy, and we need to continue right there just a little bit. I want to turn to the book of Jeremiah tonight, chapter number 15. I'm going to try to preach one little thought about joy tonight. I'm going to try to preach all the points I have. Just a little thought here. Interested tonight in increasing joy. Preacher, that seems impossible. If Jesus lives inside me, and Jesus is joy, how can you increase on Jesus? Well, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain.
Amen.
So it is possible that as much as He's in their heart, that there can be an increase there. Preacher, how can you increase on Jesus? I'm saying tonight and want to submit to you that we need to increase in capacity. I said the other night we need to give Him full freedom to roam in our lives, not limit Him. And tonight I'm interested in that our joy would be further developed, that it would be maturing, that it would be growing in capacity. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16. I like the Word of God, don't you?
Amen.
In fact, I don't just like it, I love it.
Bless
you, Lord. It says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." Well, I could preach all night on that verse right there.
Yeah.
You just think about it for a minute. He says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them." You realize man cannot live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. It's the Word of God that you and I are to eat on and to be replenished on, spiritually speaking. Yeah, probably this morning you may have ate breakfast. Lord willing, you had some time for lunch. Many of you have had supper, or in a few minutes you will have supper to feed the flesh. You ate Monday, probably 3 squares. Tuesday, 3 squares. In the day, 3 squares, 9 meals. Wonder how many you've had from the Word of God.
Bless
you. How many times you sat down and read the Word of God? He said, "Thy words were found." For words to be found means He's looking for them. Always last time you sat down and begin to search the Word of God for that promise, for that verse is going to get you through the midnight hour, through the storm that's going through your life at this point in time. Boy, thank God for His Word. Like that song Sister sung a minute ago, I think about another song that kind of ties to it in my book, or in my thought process. You know, sometimes He calms a storm, and sometimes He calms me. Amen. Praise God for that. And He said, when I found those words, I ate them. In other words, I partook of them, and those words to me were joy and the rejoicing of mine heart. Boy, I tell you what,
There's joy in the Word of God. There is help there in the Word of God if we just seek it out. And then when he gets to talking about, for I'm called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. You know, tonight if you're saved, you've been called of God. You've been chosen of God. I don't know about you, but President Bush didn't call me today. Find out how things was going in my life. Hey, he didn't call and say, hey there, what is it you need down there in Spruce Pine, North Carolina? He's not interested. He's more concerned with Iran and Iraq and what's going on in Israel. But my God, he spoke to me today. Well, I got to speak to him. He heard me. And it was communication. And not only that, but that same God is concerned for Iran and Iraq and Israel. And he's concerned for me too. Hallelujah to God. He loves me. Bless his holy name. I want to say tonight, the Word of God should be to us joy. How can we increase on it? Well, we can study it more. Look over here with me in chapter number 20, verse number 9. Jeremiah got to going through a tough place in his life. You've been through a tough place or two, I suspect. Well, if you ain't real careful, the flesh will tell you you ought to just quit going to that church. Don't read the Word of God anymore. Quit going to Sunday school. Just lay out. Oh, don't worry about Wednesday night or Sunday night service. In fact, the next thing you know, you'll slip up and start missing on Sunday morning too. Because things ain't going just right in your life. Jeremiah had that problem. Verse 9 of Jeremiah 20 said, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. The same one that said a few minutes ago, his words were found, and it was joy and rejoicing in his heart. When discouragement came in his flesh, he said, I'm not even going to mention his name anymore. I'm not even going to invite him to the tent meeting anymore. I'm not going to pray anymore. I'm not even going to mention his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing and I could not stay. In other words, I couldn't hold out on him any longer. He just had to pop and tell about Jesus. Tell about God who had been so good to him. Preacher, how are you going to try all this, carry all this over to joy? Go back with me to chapter 15. That same verse. And I realize I'm reaching tonight. I'm reaching. But it blessed me if it don't bless nobody else. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, one of his names is the Almighty One. He's wisdom. He's altogether lovely. Amen. He's righteous. He's counselor. But another one of them is, he's the Word. He's the Word. Look at it again, verse 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. I want to say to my God tonight, his word, which is his son Jesus, he's the joy and the rejoicing of this church. He's the joy and the rejoicing of this old boy right here. And he saw fit to say back there in 1978, I don't know there'd be any real joy in my life if it weren't for Jesus Christ. No, tell me where we'd be tonight if it weren't for Jesus. Right. Bless his holy name. Get a thing about old Apostle Paul. Remember him? His name was Saul when he persecuted the church and played havoc with the church and criticized them. And he'd take them off and kill them and put them to death. And on the Damascus Road one day, he met one named the Word. He wasn't looking for the Word, but the Word came looking for him. Amen. And in the Damascus dirt, old Paul got saved. Well, I remember when the Word came looking for me, amen. He came down my way, amen. He must needs pass through Samaria for that woman at the well. And he passed your way one day looking for you. And praise God, he found you, didn't he? And he's been the joy and the rejoicing of your heart. Amen. And you may get in the flesh and say, I'm just going to hold out. I ain't going to talk about him anymore. But I'm telling you, he'll put you in such a position that sooner or later you'll pop. You can't but help want to tell about what joy He is inside you. Let me think for just a minute about Paul. Over here in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 5. The book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 5. That same man Paul, who had went around persecuting and playing havoc with the church, he said this after he got saved. After God had called him to the ministry and shared the gospel of Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Hallelujah to God. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. He said, the things that I used to rejoice in, the things that I used to enjoy doing, I don't want to do those things no more. As the old man, those things are passed away. I'm a new creature. And I have new joy. Amen. New joy. And my joy is Jesus Christ. And my joy is serving Jesus Christ. Amen. What's this now? God calling him to preach. God calling you to be a witness. To tell others about Jesus. Go down here, verse number 11. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord. What he's trying to say is, he believes there's a judgment day. There's a payday coming someday. For those that live in sin and look like it's got the upper hand, and boy, it's just burdened you. What's going on? Let me tell you what, there's a payday coming someday. Oh, they may laugh now, but one day, friend, it'll be too late. He says, knowing the terror of the Lord, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. He did not say, I persuade men. He said, we, collectively speaking to the church, you and I knowing there is a judgment to come, we are to persuade men. How will we do that? Unless we pop. Pop meaning that we let the inside man come out and show others that Jesus lives in there and testify but to the glory of God. We persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God. And I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. What's he trying to say? Friend, we know the terror of the Lord. We know that the old man will be passed away and all things will become new. But if a man don't get saved, he's on his way to hell. Right. We ought to be sharing the gospel.
Yes, sir.
We ought to be praying for our fellow man that he'd hear the gospel and be saved.
Yes.
Can I say something else right here just real quick? About Paul. Over here in the 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Oh, Paul, God called him to preach. That was his labor. Now, hear me. He was a tent maker. He had basically a full-time job. It wasn't tent making. No, he did that part-time. Oh, he probably worked more than 40 hours a week tent making. But his full-time job was preaching the gospel. Brother Jerry, I think you work at Ethan Allen. But you know what your full-time job is? You report to Jesus Christ. And you work at Ethan Allen part-time. It's where he's placed you. You're to be a testimony of Jesus Christ at Ethan Allen. But you get off at probably 4 or 5 o'clock or 3 o'clock or whatever time it is. But we are to work for the Lord all the time. Paul believed in being faithful to his calling and working for the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. He said, I have been called by God to share the gospel, knowing that for the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. He's not going to be lazy. Don't be a lazy Christian. Preacher, where are you going with this? Philippians chapter 2, verse 16. Philippians chapter 2, verse 16. Watch what he says. This is amazing. If Jesus is really the joy of your life that you say he is, why ain't you telling everybody about it?
It's good, preacher. Bless you, Lord.
It's amazing. We'll tell everybody about the sale down there at Hamrick's. Oh, you ought to see, gals. 30% off. And on top of that, they said it'd give us 10% more on a red tag clearance. Boy, let's get down there and check out Hamrick's. Preacher, is that really going on? I don't know. I don't take my word for it. I don't know. Preacher, ooh, you ought to see the biggest deer I ever did see run across my path the other day. And I can see this. Now listen, we spend more time talking about worldly things and events than we do about the gospel.
That's right.
And it makes me wonder, what's really our heart? What's really our joy? What's really our rejoicing?
Yes, sir.
It ought to be, boy, I want to tell you how good God's been. Look at what look at what God's doing in my life. Oh, preacher, things just real messed up in my life right now. Oh, you can count on it. He's working. He's right there in the situation, sovereignly in control. He's working. It might not be what you want it to be yet, but look up here at me. I'm still under construction. So are you. I'm not perfect yet. He's got a lot of work still to be done. But you know what? I'll let you know a secret. One day He'll present me faultless. Preacher, that seems impossible. I know it. But one day He will. I want to read a verse to you. Philippians 2:16. Paul says, holding forth the word of life. What's the word of life? You got a copy of it in your hand?
Yeah.
It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. How that He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And that He was buried and that He rose again on the third day.
Amen.
That's the gospel. He said, holding forth the word of life. In other words, I want to share it. And that's the joy of my heart. He said, I'm not interested in telling you about the sale we have on tents down here. I'm not worried about telling you that you can sleep in this tent all night and go kill 14 deers. He said, I'm interested in telling you about Jesus. He's the only one that's going to make a real difference.
Yes, sir.
Amen. You can talk to me about the Panthers. Play down there in Charlotte, I believe the Carolina Panthers, till you're blue in the face. And I understand a lot about those things. But that's not the joy of my heart. I always liked to play basketball. And you can tell me about the Clemson Tigers, and if they recruit a man 8'4", that wouldn't be the joy of my heart. It'd sound good, but it wouldn't be the joy of my heart. The joy of my heart is the Word of God. And seeing folks get saved. And seeing you get encouraged. When you're discouraged, watching Him come through and encourage you. That's what Paul says. He says, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. He says that to hold forth the word of life, for Him to share it with you, with the people, they get saved, get redeemed. He said to see that, that is rejoicing. That is joy. That is what He enjoys. Seeing folks take the Word of God and get saved and be encouraged in it. That's joy. Now I don't know about you, but you know what my joy is here at this church? Seeing people get saved.
Amen.
Seeing you be faithful. He asks me all the time, what can I do for you, preacher? Well, you can pray for me. And I appreciate what you did just a minute ago, Brother Shane. And the whole church, God bless y'all. But you know what else you can do for me? You can be faithful. That's an encouragement to the pastor's heart.
Amen.
You can go out and see people every day that you work with, and I'll never run across them. But you go out of here, and if you'll leave here encouraged, you might share the word with somebody. Maybe they'll hear it and get saved themselves. Paul said, I want to know that I've not run in vain. I've not labored in vain. And he said, if we've done it in the name of the Lord, not in vain. Amen? I'm trying to move on very quickly. I want you to see then here in chapter 4, verse 1. Chapter 4, verse 1. Some things about Paul's joy. Real quickly. Philippians 4, 1. Therefore, he's writing to the church, my brethren, dearly beloved, and longed for, my joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. He says the Philippian church is a joy in his heart because he hears they're serving God and that they're being faithful. He said, you all are my joy and crown. You know what he's trying to say there? There is a soul winner's joy. They, I'll say this very carefully. There ain't nothing like having a burden to see somebody get saved. I mean, it is greater than if it had hung dumbbells on your back. You walked around with them all day. To have the burden for your loved one to be saved, it is a greater obstacle than carrying them big old dumbbells on your back. Shake your head if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I remember what it's like. And I know this exactly. I still got folks I'm burdened for praying about. But when I saw them hit that altar, and I got to bow down there with them, and I looked at them in hope, saying, is everything all right? No. What's wrong? I don't know. Are you saved? Nope, I ain't saved. Do you want to get saved? Yes, I do. There ain't nothing greater than to see that load lifted and that one birth in the family of God. Not that I saved them, but that Jesus saved another one. That to me is a great joy.
Amen.
To see a soul birthed into the kingdom of God after there's been tears and prayer and burden and weight. To see the load lifted and salvation has been acclaimed and victory is won. Well, glory to God, church. There's joy in that. Yes, there is. And Paul said to this Philippian church that there's joy in these people getting saved. Well, let me read over here in Colossians chapter 2, verse number 5. What's this? Colossians 2, verse 5. Caught this other day reading across this verse. Jumped out and grabbed me. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. How is he beholding the order and the steadfastness of faith, the faithfulness of the church, when he's not even there? He can't even see the people sitting in the pew. He can't even understand what they're testifying about, what they're doing. How can he behold that? To behold means to look upon, to gaze, evidently. But he said, I'm absent. But he said, though I'll be absent from you in the body. Huh? Physically, I can't be there. But spiritually, I'm with you. In other words, I'm for you. I'm praying for you. I'm under the burden for the church at Colossae. And when I hear about souls being saved, and when I hear about you as a people being faithful, he said, you are a joy to me, a privilege for me to be around. Y'all, I'm going to tell you what. The church was a joy to Paul. Is it a joy to you? Let's ask this pastor. Is the church a joy to you? Well, it better be. I mean, there better be a burden for the church. And yet at the same time, that body of believers ought to be a joy to him. Absolutely. You run out of here and you want to run down your church? That's not joy. That ain't the fruit of the Spirit. That's a flash and something's out of order in your life. I tell you to every one of you that are attendees of the Bethel Missionary Baptist Church, so just to know that there's a service upcoming, it should be a joy for you to hear. We have the opportunity to read the Word of God and to be in the presence of Almighty God. What a joy and a privilege it is to be in the house of God tonight. It's the way we should feel. But obviously there's folks that would feel like, oh, I've got to go to church again. A preacher might preach an hour. He might preach two. Let me tell you what. It ought to be a joy. And listen, if the pastor has joy in his heart about being there, it'll catch. Somebody will catch it. Somebody will pick up on the heartbeat of the man of God and they'll want to be in there with him. Amen. And it only takes two or three gathered in his name for him to be in the midst. Amen. And that'll get the job done in the local church. But oh, what a joy it is when they all get together and they really love one another. And they start working and doing glory to God. And they get excited about seeing the church grow. And they want to go out and bite people and tell them to come. And they ain't whispering and talking about people in the church or afraid for people to come to their church. It's a joy and a privilege for them to say, come to Bethel. God's down there.
Amen.
Let's worship Jesus. Old Paul, boy, he'd invite you to the church at Philippi. He would invite you to the church at Colossae, and he couldn't even be there. But it was a joy to him. Preacher, I think I'm getting you drift. Well, just in case you didn't. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verse number 19, I'm talking about a soul winner's joy. At the same time, point number 2, the shepherd, or at least the under-shepherd's joy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? For you are our glory and joy. Here's another church. Preacher, how many churches can he have joy in? All of them that's really saved, amen. That's really the body of Christ, all of them. You get my drift? There's another one, we won't read it, but it's 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3. Go home and look that up about joy. Now, let me read over here in 3 John. I'm trying to move on. 3 John. Soul winner's joy and an under-shepherd's joy. 3 John, verse 4. You could quote this to me. Preacher, you don't preach out of 3 John much. Well, we're going to read it tonight, verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Amen. Do you know what a joy? Do you know what a joy it is to walk through those doors and to come in this house and get to sit down here and hear this choir sing about Jesus? When I know that you really love each other and that there's not a big tassel or hassle going on in the church, not until the war over power. And you sit there and you hear the choir get up and start singing. And you feel the presence of God moving on the situation. And the Spirit of God is just bubbling over in people. And then you start testifying. And then maybe preaching comes on, amen. And you get to preach. And you see people moving, getting down in the altar, and getting right with God, and scrooching up, getting closer to God, and leaving with tears in their eyes, yet a smile on their face. And excitement to come back that night. Whew, y'all, that's joy. To want to be in the house of God. And John said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Ain't you glad that all the churches, and not even all the churches, have truth fell in the street? I didn't know he's going to do that, brother. Ain't you glad that they still churches that'll stand up and preach truth? They still churches when the enemy comes in like a flood, that the Spirit will lift up the standard, and the man of God and the people that are there will try to live by the standard of the Word of God.
Amen.
What a blessing that is. Now in Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 17. What's this? This is a warning. He says, obey them that have the rule over you. Oh, preacher, I don't like that verse already. I don't like anybody to have the rule over me. Well, then you ain't saved. Because Jesus has the rule over you. He is the head of the church. We ought to submit to Him. And then He gives some government, spiritually speaking, into the church. He says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable, not for the preacher, for you. In other words, I'm not telling you that the pastor should be a dictator. No, I don't believe he'd be that if there's real love and there's real joy in church. He won't be a dictator. But there will be some authority that God gives that local pastor to exercise. And the people have no trouble accepting what the man of God does under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And he said, as they give account, you realize, I believe that day of judgment, I will give an account for your soul. What I preached to you, whether I was right or wrong, I'll give an account for that. I believe with all my heart, I give an account for it now. Yes, I do. And he says that they may do it with joy and not with grief. Amen. And if he does it with grief, it's unprofitable for you. What's a dangerous place to be? Amen. Let me say as I try to close. Over in the book of Ezra, chapter 3. I just wanted to have 3 points. The Lord laid 3 points on my heart. That's all I want to try to get through tonight. The soul winner's joy. The shepherd or the under-shepherd's joy. And last of all, the saints' joy. What's this? Talking about increasing joy. The joy that ought to be in the church. Well, preacher, I don't enjoy the fact that it's somewhere after 8 o'clock tonight. And I need to be home. I don't enjoy that. Smile. Will you give me 5 more minutes? Anybody? 5 more minutes. Anybody? 5, 10, 15, 20. I've got all kind of time. Ezra chapter 3. Verse number 10. Solomon's temple. Okay? Been destroyed. What a glorious place it was. It's been torn down. The people have come back to Jerusalem, and Ezra is leading them to rebuild the temple. The second temple, if you should so speak. Verse 10 says, when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests and their apparel with trumpets. And the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good. For his mercy endureth forever towards Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout. Shout! Shout! You'll never shout without joy. We read that Psalm 132, verse 6 of the night about the saints would shout aloud with joy. Right? Am I going to read it again? The saints can shout aloud with joy. The inside man pops out of there, they'll be shouting in your heart. There'll be joy. I'm telling you, Christians are the only people who really got something to shout about. They began to shout with a great shout. And all they did was pour the foundation. What it says, when they laid the foundation of the temple, they started shouting. Glory to God. What's this? All the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. You realize when they started praising him, and they started shouting. When the foundation was laid. That tells me some of these sainted men and women, there was joy for them in the temple being built. That was a joy to their heart. But many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers who were ancient men, the older ones that had seen the first house, you know, that glorious house, when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice. They began to weep. You know why? It could very well be that they remembered the former house and the glory that it had. And when they see this foundation laid out here, they begin to weep, because it's not just exactly what the first one was. Let me say something here. I don't know how many times I've been to tent meetings and revival meetings. Seen 50 saved, 40 saved, 30 saved. Good meeting. That meeting Brother Ralph sent this week's going into the third week. Walk through the camp, boy. People positive, feel good about it. Hear some old timers say, why, this ain't nothing. I remember when revival went 7 weeks. There's more saved, more glory, more shouting. And you realize, as good as that sounds to think about those old days, that discourages the folks that's trying to do something now. If you're going to have joy, you need to be encouraged, not discouraged. Some of us old timers need to withhold our judgment. I like what Brother Ralph said. Went earlier this week. He said we're going to have some pizza there on Thursday night. Try to get the young people to come. Then we're going to share the gospel with them. And I heard exactly what he said. He said, don't y'all say anything about us giving pizza to get them to come. Don't you say anything about it. He said, I don't think there's anything wrong with feeding them something and then sharing the word of God with them. He said some old timers will have basically convictions about that, but just leave it alone and watch God. Just let it. But it could also very well be that these old timers that had saw the former house, they knew what it was like to see the house of God torn down. And now that they've laid the temple, it could be, laid the foundation, it could be that they're weeping for joy because they're going to have a temple again. The house of God's been built again. Somehow I want to believe it's that way. Not that they're disgruntled, but that they're joy. Well, I tell you what, they began to weep with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. Let me say something to y'all. It ought to be a joy to you to be in the position God has allowed this church to be placed in. If you want to speak against it, I want to speak against it, but right now I'm not going to say a word. I'm just going to look to God and trust Him with it and see what He's going to do. That's His house. That's just see what, and I'm telling you what, amen, you pray for the rest of us because I'm certain we need it. But this church, God has placed you in the opportunity to grow and to build. You realize how many churches tonight are dried up, doing everything that they didn't cancel Wednesday night services. It's all they can do to have a Sunday night service. And God has blessed you enough that you can come and have someone to preach and someone to sing on a Wednesday night that you might feel the Spirit of God and praise His name and at the same time have the opportunity to go right over there into a new building at some point in time upon completion. And God is trying to work in our midst. What a joy that ought to be in our souls for what He's doing. That ought to bless us to death that He has honored us as because we've honored Him. We put Him first and He's honored us by allowing us to do this. But if you think you're going to outfox Him, you're going to outrun Him, and you're going to slow Him down, that's like trying to stop a freight train running through Spruce Pine. Stand on the tracks, put your hands up, but you ain't going to stop it if God's really in it. Let me read one more verse. My voice is almost gone. 1 Peter, last verse, I promise. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse number 8. We see there how the saints, what they were with Ezra there, men of God, shouted of joy because the opportunity God had given them just to lay the foundation. They hadn't even completed the project yet. They done shouted out. Well, what's wrong with us? Why are we so quiet? Hallelujah, God. Yeah. They putting shingles on. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. Lord of God, they're going to put bricks on. Putting window frames in. Man. How are we sitting here so quiet as we do? Yeah. Yeah. Worrying about everything. God's blessed us. Amen. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1. I want to tie something into verse number 7. It says, "In honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." You see that? Honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Whom, having not seen, you love. In whom, though now you see Him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You can't shout because the opportunity God's given you in this church, this local body of assembly, of believers that are assembled together tonight. You can't shout it now. I'm certain you can shout for Jesus' sake. You might not be able to see him and never seen him yet.